We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Learfield, this is the CU Buffs Insider. Here's the voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson.
Welcome into the Buffs Insider. We missed him last week. Neil Welk was not on the show last week, and I promised him after he called me and begged me over and over and over to let him back on. Now, we let him back on this week's podcast. Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Should I tell everybody exactly why you weren't in the podcast last week?
I promise to be better this week, Mark. I promise. And, you know, and granted, the content I offered last week was not very good, so we're going to do a better job this week.
Here's the honest truth. I'm going to be a man and step up and admit what happened. Neil and I did about 10 minutes for the podcast last week before I left for the Paradise Jam. And sitting in my hotel room on Wednesday, I hit the delete button on my recorder and lost all of Neil Welk. So it's... You know, there have been lost tapes and government and music around the world, and now we've got the lost tapes of Neil Welk from last week.
And people are very grateful for that. People are very grateful. So we'll do a better job this week. Here we go.
Well, let's jump into it. We're talking some basketball. I mentioned the Paradise Jam last week. How about our Colorado Buffaloes? Heading on out there, three very tough games. So a miraculous finish to the first one when McKinley Wright hit the game-winning shot. You beat a couple of teams that I believe are probably going to be NCAA tournament teams in Drake and Mercer last week. I know you're watching from afar, but certainly covering it and had a chance to talk to a number of the principals involved. Give us a thought or two about the bus last week.
You know, I was just impressed with the different things that they did. Number one, coming back from a 13-point deficit. 4 minutes left in the game. They're down by 13. They come back and win that. Giving up a 17-point lead. I think it was 17-point lead that gets cut down to one. They didn't panic. This is a team that has been known to panic in those situations and lose that lead completely. They did not do that. They came back and they won comfortably going down the stretch and then had their best game of the tournament against Mercer, which you will see Mercer in the NCAA tournament. I really believe they're going to win their conference and be a very good team. So love what they did. Young guys, still they're making mistakes. There's a lot of room for improvement. I think Tad said even after the Mercer game, he said on a scale of 1 to 10, they're playing about a 6. Well, I tell you what, if that's a 6, I cannot wait to see 7, 8, 9, you know, in that regard. So just a terrific effort by a lot of guys. McKinley Wright, obviously, being the one that kind of jumped out and is going to make a name for himself here.
Yeah, he was the MVP of the tournament. You know, here's the thing about it. Were they making mistakes? Yes. Could they rebound better? Certainly. Can they play better defensively? Can they run their offense? All these different things that they can improve upon, which are fixable. The one thing I don't think you can coach up, and you made reference to it, there's been a period of time here in the recent past when Buffs would have lost games like that. There's a toughness. And I can never figure out the personality of a team. It's different every year. College, you got guys graduating, got freshman transfers coming in. This team, whatever it is, it's got it. It appears. And again, it's a limited sample size, but still.
No, and they're a together team. They like playing with each other. There's nobody out there that's hucking up shots with two guys draped on them in the corner. They're taking good shots. They're working well together. They're making the most of their minutes when they're out there on the floor. And Tad said it after the Mercer game. He said, you know, McKinley Wright is a connector. And I hate to keep harping on a young freshman like that or talking about him, but McKinley really has brought that team together. And I think they feed off of his energy. They feed off of his ability to bring everybody together. And it just seems like this is a much different team as far as playing together, wanting to win. This team wants to win more than anything else. Yep. And I think if you look at just the difference between a year ago, and Tad has referenced that, you know, made veiled references to it, and I'll go a little bit farther. There was a team last year that had a lot of different personal agendas. This team has one agenda. They want to win, and everything else is secondary.
No, I think you hit it right in the head there. By the way, the Buffs next in action. Got a nice quiet week this week. On Sunday, after we get back from Utah from football, they've got a 2 o'clock game against Air Force. Our coverage on the Colorado Basketball Network gets underway at 1:30, tip-off between the Buffs and the Falcons at 2 o'clock at the Event Center. Hey, let's stick with basketball here. CU women's basketball team getting a couple of nice wins last week. You know, J.R. Payne, she's working a lot of youth into that team as well. They get a victory over number 24 Miami at the Event Center.
You know, and that was a big-time win. Number 24 Miami comes in, and I was talking to Coach Toriano Towns after the game, and that might be the most athletic overall team they've seen in a couple of years. I mean, they have five just terrific starters. Like I said, ranked number 24 in the nation, a very good team. And Colorado handled them throughout the game, came out, played well, played terrific defense in the first quarter. Miami made a run at them, and they came back, and they showed enough poise to go down the end and win that game. Annika Jank, freshman of the week in the Pac-12 conference, a terrific post player who's only going to get better. That's another program that's on its way up.
Yep, and this weekend, of course, to see women, I got the Rocky Mountain Hoops Classic. Used to be the Omni Invitational. Rocky Mountain Hoops Classic. In fact, the Buffaloes, as you're hearing this on Friday morning as it comes out, meeting up with Mississippi Valley State at noon today, in fact. With that ball game. All right, on to football. Off week last week for the Colorado Buffaloes. They got to relax a little bit. They got to work on a few things. And maybe most importantly, got to heal up a little bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, and that was a big deal. Isaiah Oliver, a guy that played for about a half against SC and still obviously wasn't quite himself, has had a chance to get much better. I think we'll see Isaiah on Saturday. A lot of other guys just had bumps, bruises, dings, and it was a nice chance for everybody to heal up. More importantly, I think it's a chance for the last 2 weeks they've been able to study what's at stake, and they know what's at stake on Friday or on Saturday night, and hey, it's a big game. That's a playoff game.
Yeah, without question. It's come down to that. Both teams, after the Utah loss to Washington in Seattle, both teams at 5-6, 2-6 in the Pac-12 conference play, and so – you know, Buffs keep talking about a bowl game. They've essentially got a bowl game to start out if they want to get to a bowl game.
Exactly. You know, this, like I said, a playoff game. Winner gets to play again. Loser gets to go home for the holidays. And the loser also finishes last in the Pac-12 South. So there's a lot at stake here. And this is a game that's going to come down, and I've talked to a lot of different coaches. This is a game that comes down to will. This is a game, it's the exact same thing for Utah. What team wants to go out there and play again? And that's what's going to happen. The history suggests it's going to be a close game. The last five, six games between these two teams have been a touchdown or less. So it's going to come down to the fourth quarter.
You know, and I wonder about this a little bit. You talk about they got a chance to refocus on what's at hand. We've had similar conversations. Now, obviously, there wasn't a finality to it in the last few weeks. We've been waiting for them to get that sixth victory. They've been looking at finality in some respect, or at least the idea of getting the game moving on. So they've had that in their sights here for a few weeks. Is it possible in refocus, maybe they've got a greater understanding of what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, because it's do or die now. And I think Utah's in the exact same, you know, in the exact same position. They've lost five of their last six, I think. They were, you know, ranked in the top 25 in the nation for a little while, playing really well. They've had some really close losses. The one against Washington last week, incredibly heartbreaking for them. Huskies scored 10 points in the last 57 seconds to win that game. So this is a game that both teams know that it's it's do or die. And if you want to play again, then you've got to go out there and win that fourth quarter, because I really think this game comes down to that.
Let's play a little what if here. Okay, if they win it, they go into a bowl game, everybody's happy, right? It might be the Las Vegas Bowl or something along those lines. If they don't win on Saturday, how do we look at this whole thing, do you think?
You know, I think if they don't win on Saturday, you look at this season as a snapshot of just 1 year. I think you look at it as a disappointment, no doubt about it. Baby, you're coming off a 10-win season when you thought that they would certainly be back and at least be in the conversation for that Pac-12 South. A lot of things that went into this that you just didn't anticipate, you didn't think were going to happen. I think overall you look at the program and say, okay, 5 wins, 5-7, played 3 or 4 games very close, lost, you know, 3 or 4 one-possession games. And then you look at it and say, okay, now this program's kind of at a crossroads. Can they come back, you know, the following year? And so I think if they win, certainly it's a good season. If you can go on, you have a chance to go 7-6, get another winning season. If they lose, you look at it and say, okay, now this program's at a little bit of a crossroads. How does Mike McIntyre respond to this, and how does that coaching staff respond coming into spring ball, and how do they come back next year? So there's a lot at stake in this game.
You know, the one thing that this season kind of illustrates a little bit, I think back to it was early in the season. You would sat down and had a conversation, I think, with former Buff quarterback, now with Fox Sports, Joe Klatt. He talked about, you know, between what was a 20 and 40 or something in college football, it's a handful of plays between 4 and 8 and 8 and 4. And I think we've seen evidence of that this season.
And that Joel has talked about that several times, because I keep in touch with him. There are 70% of the teams in this in the nation of college football teams that the difference between 4 and 8 and 8 and 4 is 5 or 6 plays, 7 plays over the stretch of a season. And so you've got to be one of those programs that makes those plays. A year ago, Colorado made those plays. This year they haven't. And that's just the real simple, if you want to break it all down to one thing, they haven't made those plays this year. They got one more chance to make some and get something out of the season that would be a huge positive, big step forward. So and I think Colorado needs to get to that point where they can count on making those plays more often than not. They haven't gotten there yet. They're close. I mean, we saw it a year ago. They haven't quite done it this year. So I think this is a program that needs to take that next step and get to where they are regularly in that 20 to 40 range.
You know, getting ready for the broadcast on Saturday. And by the way, our coverage gets underway on the Colorado Football Network at 6 o'clock. Gary Barnett, Bobby Pasavento, and yours truly, kick off at 8 o'clock, of course, at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Thank you, by the way, to the Pac-12 for another night game. We very much appreciate that, especially with the 2 o'clock basketball game the next day, by the way. Did I say that out loud? I did say that out loud, didn't I? Getting ready for the game. Utah's defense is not what it was a year ago. I was looking at my board from a year ago. They really have. Their numbers are considerably less than they were a year ago on the defensive side of the ball. As you look at this game, is there one side of the ball for Colorado you think there's more pressure on this week or more focused on this week in terms of making sure they do get that 6th victory?
You know, I think if you look at this team, and Colorado struggled on defense more often than not this year, and so your inclination is going to say, boy, the defense has to show up and play. Well, I honestly think if you're looking at something in this game that you have to see the offense come out and play well. At the beginning of the year, Colorado's plan was we're going to have to outscore people to win. And I don't think that has changed. The problem is they haven't. They haven't been able to do that. They've given up points. They haven't been able to produce those points down the stretch. This is an instance where Colorado's offense has to come out, move the ball early, get some momentum, take charge, and they're going to have to outscore Utah. I don't think they can depend on their defense to hold Utah to, you know, X number of points. They need to go out. And the offense, this is on the offense this week.
You know the old line, you dance with who brung you, right?
Yes.
I would like to see Philip Lindsay have 25-plus carries this weekend.
Yeah, I'd like to see Phillip, you know, go out with a bang, and I'd like to see them establish a running game early, get Phillip, you know, going downhill, getting between the tackles, getting moving, getting to that second level, because when Phillip gets to the second level, he's as good as there is in the Pac-12. I mean, he's among the top, you know, four or five running backs in the nation when he hits that second level. Love to see him get there. That then opens up the passing game. That does a lot. But if they don't, if they can't get Phillip, you know, moving early, that eliminates a whole lot of, you know, options for that offense.
Do you fall into the camp of when you're trying to force the run and it's not happening early, sticking with it and softening things up? Because eventually a guy like Phil, with his will and physicality, is eventually going to find some success?
Yeah, I think if you can't establish your run game, you have to keep trying, because you're not going to do it if you're throwing it. There's only one way to establish a run game, and that's run the football. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, we've got to do this. Now, you know, you can try the dink and dunk pass game, and I think you can, you know, do that a little bit to soften them up, but this is not a dink and dunk team to a degree. This is not a dink and dunk passing attack. I mean, they need to be throwing the ball downfield. So the only way to get throw the ball downfield is to make sure that they're respecting your run game, because that's when you open up. That's when the safeties start cheating up on the run a little bit. So I think they have to come out, get Phillip going. And I tell you what, if anybody's ready to run 25 times on Saturday night, it's Phillip.
Without question, he has been such a workhorse, and obviously we've talked about him here in the podcast. One of our favorite Buffs of all time. He's been a joy to watch and write about and call the games of Phillip Lindsay. All right, I've always believed you don't – you know, there's no line that you don't give yourself a nickname, right? I don't think you name a rivalry before it's a rivalry, but we've got the Rumble in the Rockies. Are you a believer in the Rumble in the Rockies?
You know, it's funny. I remember talking to Kyle Whittingham at the Pac-12 Media Days, and I actually looked it up this morning to make sure I had it right, and I was talking to him, just caught him outside of the facility there one day when we were before the press conference was going on. I said, do you see this as a rivalry? And he looked at me, he said, you know, he said, rivalries have bad blood. He said, at some point, he said, us and BYU. He said, now that's a rivalry. He said, there's some bad blood there. And he said, you guys in Nebraska, you know, there was bad blood there. And he said, I'm sorry, I have all the respect in the world for Mike McIntyre. We play tough games with those guys every year. But he said, nothing has happened that has forced some bad blood. He said, we respect them. We like them. We enjoy playing them. We know it's going to be a tough game. But he said, not yet has there been any bad blood. And I don't think that's changed this year. They haven't played yet. So I think when you see that moment that there is a little bad blood, when there's something happens that takes it up a notch, you know, other than that, then right now it's just a game that means a lot because it's coming at the end of the year. There's so much at stake, and there usually is. Colorado, yeah, last year, if they beat Utah, they won the Pac-12 South. So there was a lot at stake for Colorado. This year there's a bowl game at stake.
Well, shouldn't it say something that when the last week when the schedule came out, the last game of the year was not Colorado and Utah? So think about this for a second. For the first time in recent past, the Buffs are not going to play a team in red on the final week of the season because they moved it for rivalry weekend for Utah and BYU. So even from a Pac-12 perspective, it really hasn't become a rival.
Yeah, no, and the Pac-12, they shifted a lot of those games. The last game of the year for USC next year is not UCLA. They're playing Notre Dame on the last weekend of the year. And so what happened was that's just the way the schedule, you know, Utah had BYU, USC had Notre Dame, and so the Pac-12 said, well, we want those games. We want the big rival at the end of the season, so they took those, and so they had to juggle the schedule everywhere. So Colorado gets Cal on the last game of the year next year, and that just doesn't say rivalry to me at all. That says, you know, two schools that are known for a lot of other things other than just a rivalry. I'll leave that there.
You know why I think it's a rivalry? Because I'm angry we've got to be on the road for two consecutive Thanksgivings. What do you think about that? That's why I'm mad at Cal.
We can really be mad at the Bears for that one. Yes, exactly.
Well, the Buffaloes will put a wrap on the season. Do you think come Monday when we're talking next week, we're talking about a Buffs win or a Buffs loss?
I think Colorado has a chance to win this game. I would not, you know, if you put a gun to my head, I don't know who I would pick to win this game, just because I think, again, it comes down to the fourth quarter. Six games in a row, no more. The biggest spread in the last six games has been a touchdown. I don't see this, you know, shaping out any differently. Colorado has a good chance to win this game. I think it depends on Colorado's players. Do they want to play again? And that means all the seniors. That means all the guys on this team. Are they tired or do they want to play one more game? If they want to play one more game, they have a good chance to win it.
As former Buffs basketball coach Jeff Bozdelic used to say, it all comes down to a will and a want to. Do the Buffaloes want to? So we'll see what happens. Okay, here's the way the weekend shapes up once again. You've got the CU women's basketball team involved in the Rocky Mountain Hoops Classic. Noon on Friday, the first game, Buffs and Mississippi Valley State. Football on Saturday in Salt Lake City. Our coverage gets underway at 6, kickoff at 8 between the Buffs and the Utes. Regular season finale, and of course the men's basketball team. Then on Sunday, 2 o'clock with the Air Force Falcons. If you've heard Neil Welk's voice today on the podcast, that means I didn't erase it this week. So as we wrap up, the Buffs Insider here for another week. For Neil Welk, CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Insider.